going to preach to you tonight, as I have for the last several services, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We dealt this morning with the initial evidence. Who would have ever thought we'd have to deal with that as a topic of a message when it is so clearly defined in the Word of God? And we showed that this morning. We showed you this morning how the fire and the wind, as there was with Elijah on that hill. The Bible says that there came a mighty wind. There came an earthquake. Came a fire. But it said God was not in the wind. God was not in the fire. We tried to show you how that when Elijah was commanded of God to stand in the cave, he heard a still small voice. It was in that voice where the presence of God was. There is no doubt that great things happened in the life of Elijah. With the breaking of the rocks and the shaking of the ground and the burning of the fire, but God let us know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was in the voice. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the voice. I have been at all of them. I didn't lay down anything. I was thinking about this truth, this message. Can anybody tell me the question that you believe that God would ask? You believe God would ask the church that he would ask a question to do. Paul was faced with that when he got into the upper coast of Ephesus. He asked, have you received since you believed? The commission and the command of God was going to Jerusalem. And do not leave until you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. I believe as a preacher of the gospel, I have the right to question every man, woman, boy, and girl in the church. Have you received since you believed? That's how important it is that we be filled with the Spirit. I said it this morning. That we are experienced with these two children that lost their lives, that has remained with me. Based upon this, we preach, we lead, we talk directly, guide. But what are we using as a guide? What is our example? What is our message? I said one time to Brother Clinton, and I said, Brenda told me she received the Holy Ghost when she was 8 years old. He said she should have. I thought she heard it every Sunday night of her life. Today, you have people that have been filled for years, but they have not spoken in tongues. They've not prayed in the Spirit. They've not prayed through in a long time. I take some responsibility for that. And I believe every other preacher needs to take some accountability for that. Because we must preach as an absolute. Do you hear me? We must preach as an absolute. Without any question. Without any wavering. Without any double-mindedness. That you must be filled with the Spirit. The great testimony of God for his son, how that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is a necessity. We read in Acts 1:6, but therefore, when they will come together, ask him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The reason I choose that tonight is because the Word of God tells us but the kingdom. He said, thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done. But what did he say the kingdom was? Joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. We're not talking about some kind of a hierarchy. We're not just talking about something that someone considers the kingdom. We're told in the Word of God what it is. It is joy. It is peace. It is everything that is in the Spirit. He said in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. When they came together, they asked God about the kingdom. He let them know what that kingdom was. I quoted it twice. But then he lets them know, you are going to be my witness of that kingdom. Hello? We're not here to talk about trading cars, buying boats. We're here to be a witness. You shall be my witnesses when, after that the Holy Ghost has come on you. We are in great need of the workings and the goings of the Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, begin reading with verse number 5, and I quote part of the verses down through verse 14. Now they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And then were all amazed and marveled, saying, behold, are not all these that speak Galilee? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? We hear them speaking in our tongue the mighty works of God. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, saying, that this is the kingdom of God. I must go left on part of the business. The whole matter of God giving us the Spirit of God, everything is reduced down into one simple issue. To serve God is not a lot of big complication. The flesh can't do it. The flesh can't satisfy it. There is no amount of works, good deeds, anything else that will take or do anything on the side of God. I'm going to get down to it in a minute. When God said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. That's the simple truth and the simple fact of everything, that God only has one thing in view. And that one thing is governing everything, ruling everything. Do you hear me? It is the one thing that God uses in this kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you find the will of God being done on earth, it's being done not by mind or power, but by my Spirit. God, the Holy Ghost, over this kingdom is totally, absolutely, miraculously in charge. Not anything else. Not anything else has anything at all. We can see this, that when Pentecost came, you know what it was? It was the coming of the Son of God in His kingdom. That is all you have to write. I said this morning, I'm thinking everything very simple. I'm trying to say this simply. If you ever pray, thy kingdom come, what you are praying for, you are praying for the government, you are praying for the leadership, you are asking for God to have His way in everything. It's not a divided kingdom. It's not part carnal and part spiritual. This is a lively, stone sitting and praying together, making up a habitation with God by the Spirit. That's what it is. And if God is going to govern, and if God is going to rule, He's going to govern and rule the way you turn Him in the Word of God. There's nothing else. He's not going to come and ask Mr. So-and-so with your money, with your popularity, with your followers. Then I ask you to do this for me. He's not going to do that. Everything that God does, everything, is done spontaneously. There are preachers, I read one account just this past week, where a preacher was saying about the Spirit of God. He was saying that when the Holy Spirit came, that God got every one of His followers, His disciples, His apostles, and He instructed them to build a fellowship, to build a method and a means. He said, I'm taking my son. My God, where do you come up with that kind of a method? The day of Pentecost was fully come. About 120 people for 10 days in an upper room. There is no one time to resurrect some kind of a leadership. We all begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the evidence. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a real big believer in these organizations and fellowships. I think that's one thing that's done some of the mess and trouble that we're in. If the church was filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, obeyed the Spirit, we would all pray the same thing. You wouldn't like to have somebody out here trying to decide what God wants. What we need to do is we need to be filled. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to wait until we know the mind of God. If you don't know what God wants you to do, don't do anything. God's always worked on it. Paul wanted to go east with the gospel. Jesus told him to go west. God only wants you to go west. He went west. Every place in the Word of God. I'm not going to get into this part of it. But when they had the collection, when they raised the money, we all know it went to Jerusalem, whatever. But in reality, somebody says, well, you have to make decisions what you want to do. I can tell you what they did. They all things. Can you show me any place where the Lord said to rescind that? Can you show me anywhere where we are, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours? I never saw that scene. Whether it's the widows, or whoever, whatever the need, I said, I want to go into that with all of this time. I believe that everything comes down to one simple issue. Be filled with and be led by. And obey the Holy Spirit leadership. Had a friend, I want to make sure certain people aren't here. They knew what I'm talking about. Had a certain friend that attended a church. One of the greatest, most godly men ever knew on this earth. He and I were about the same age. He went to his church and he said, I believe God has called me to preach. I want your blessings. I want your help. He began to go through it all. That little party had their meeting, and the children said, we're not going to recognize you as a preacher. I don't know how decisions are reached, but I know this one thing, that a man that's going to be a preacher of the gospel, if you're a little click, doesn't want to recognize you, not to just walk on your feet path, go somewhere and find some place where you can preach the gospel. They never gave him a reason. There was no reason There was no purpose. He died of a broken heart. Listen to what I'm telling you. There is one issue for this church. One issue. I'm not asking you to give all that you got. I'm not asking you for that. They voluntarily. It wouldn't be right. Have the right to ask you to give your tithe. Have the right to ask you to give an offering. God said, you brought me. They said, where? He said, you brought me in tithe. I know that what I'm saying tonight is a little bit stronger. But Pentecost was not a bunch of men getting together and making some kind of a constitution and bylaws. I have brothers in the work of the ministry. Some are in this fellowship, some are in that fellowship. Do you know what? I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. The guy was a man. Paul Brother Clinton go preach for him. I knew the man. I've been in his church many times. I sat on the front row when Brother Clinton was preaching. One day Brother Clinton asked him to this church. He said, I cannot come. You know who I'm talking about. I cannot come. I cannot go to your church. Not because we're heathens. Not because we're devils. But his leadership told him, you cannot come. That's where it's wrong. And we have been so encumbered by so many regulations and so many rules that we're in a mess. And the man in my office, in that office many of you have been in, he said it, not me. He began to call some names. He told me, he said, Pastor, I know what I'm talking about. He told me, he said, they are not even Christians. You and I need to be as it was for that church in the beginning, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They broke bread. They went from house to house. Every now and then I get a report from somebody in the tenant. Saying, hey, did you know somebody went to church somewhere else? I don't doubt any of those things. There's one thing I know. If you don't go to this church, go to this church. Don't go to this church. Don't go here. But I will tell you, we're not the only ones going. We're not the only ones going. We're not the only ones saying, filled with the Holy Ghost. If I believe there was some place better, I'd go. But God leads us by the Holy Ghost. It's simple. Come to the place. If you hear something in that church that's not biblical, wave goodbye. If they're not seeking to be led by and filled with the Holy Ghost, wave goodbye. Amen? Not every place is for everyone. We know that. Years and years and years ago, I was told that a Pentecostal church had people that went to it that were not Pentecostal. And usually when we take communion, like we do this morning, Jesus said, as often as you do it, right? Do it in remembrance of me. But there were people that believed they were not Pentecostal. They believed you should take communion every Sunday. Do I have a problem with that? Not me. He didn't say, do it once a month, do it every Sunday. He didn't say anything. He just said, as often as you do it. So I was told, I wasn't there. I was told that that Pentecostal church, at the end of every Sunday morning service, they had to stop and serve communion to these people that felt that was a part of their walk with God. I don't care if you do it every day. I'm not criticizing that. But I am telling you that if you do not understand the purpose of that communion, you'll make some kind of legality out of it. You'll make some kind of a form and a tradition out of it. When Brother Dallas led that communion cup in that parker right here this morning, for me to give all of us the communion, when I looked at that cup, I know that that is grape juice. when I looked at that bread, I knew that that was unleavened bread. I know exactly what it is. And I picked it up and took it. And you led you in taking it. You knew what it was. We don't believe in sanctification. We don't believe it turns into the blood of Jesus. We don't believe that that turns into his body. But every word in this book was given not by the will of man, but by the will of God. And God said, as often as you do this, you are doing it in a remembrance. It is very important that we know that God is over this kingdom. It is his will. It is his direction. It is his leadership. But it is also his authority. There's only one authority. You can hear me, and please understand what I say. If you don't understand, ask questions. There is no other authority in the church than that which is the authority of God. There's nothing. You look at the government, and they have this authority, and that authority. You have the, you know, dark authority, this authority, that authority. But in the kingdom of God, there's only one. It's not my boat, it's his boat. It's not my airplane, it's his airplane. It's not my house, it's his house. When the Spirit of God came into this earth, into this world, he came to establish that which is of the Son. And Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will not talk of himself, he's going to talk about me. He's not going to lead you into his direction, he's going to lead you into my direction. I can assure you tonight, just knowing people, that there are many, many, many legitimate reasons why some are not here. Others, it's only in their imagination. I didn't expect to get in trouble with you on this message tonight. You say, do you live your life in that manner? Let me ask you about the way Brother Clinton did when a man accused him of teaching the school of Christ, but not being everything that he taught. Brother Clinton said, no, I don't. And I'm striving. I'm striving. I'm pursuing. If you don't have something in front of you to pursue, you just follow off. You have a job. And a man there that just finished last week talking to me about his income. He made $91,000 a year. That's a good job. Not that much work going on in that job. But there's not a man that has an income that you would like maybe just a little bit more. If I could have a little bit more, and there's nothing wrong with it. If I could have a little bit more, if I can have every day a little more of Jesus, if I by the Spirit can inherit a little bit more of the likeness of Jesus Christ, that's what my heart's desire is. That's what I want. And that's the reason God gave the Holy Ghost is that we may have the desire of our hearts. Do you think that God will withhold anything from them that love him? In the Bible, he said, he will not withhold anything from them that love him. Stay with me. Under the day of Pentecost, we dealt with the evidence that we were speaking in time. Something happened to that body of people. Right? It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the fire. But God has come with a unique manifestation. There's been fire and rocks and all of this in the Old Testament. But he's given a promise that on the day of Pentecost, they will speak
with foreign lips and other tongues. The only time that I can remember in the Bible where there was other tongues was at the Tower of Babel. And God said, I've been cursed out. But he said, the day of Pentecost would come and they would speak with new tongues. I'm telling you, that one thing that happened on that day of Pentecost, those people were miraculously changed. They've been in the same building for 10 days. They had been in the same place for 10 days. They had been doing the same thing for 10 days. But all of a sudden, they were changed. All of a sudden, they began to speak. All of a sudden, things were different. But I want to tell you what else was different. That whatever they were, there was a change in character. There was a change in what they were. And they became what the Holy Ghost made them. The Holy Spirit made a change in their life. And if you don't believe that's the truth, you just let a man get away from the Holy Spirit, he'll go right back to what he was. He said that man will go back to his body. God the Holy Ghost never led a man back to his body. God the Holy Ghost never led that child back to that woman. He did something. That's what they were before. They were saved. Can I throw something in on you? Just if you understand that. Tim Kidd. Is he standing back there? Okay. Tim Kidd was the first one to tell me this. That there was an individual in this church that said, there is nothing wrong with putting matters of sex and violence in your life. In this church, there's a lot of thoughts, a lot of ideas, a lot of convictions that can come in your mind. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit to lead you in the truth, you will be surprised what you will fall for. If I would tell you tonight, and I'm closing, but if I would tell you tonight where some people are, that you miss their presence, but you don't know where they are by now, if he told you why, you'd be shocked. You'd be surprised. As long as you walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the letters and the desires of the Christ. Part of the answer to the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the letters and the desires of the Christ. What does that mean? That means if you do not walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the letters. I'm not naming them because I'm not saying you're going to go out and become a whoremonger. I don't know what it is. I just know what it is, whatever it is, especially if it was ever in your past, that dog will return to his body. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God to have us in the Holy Ghost. We need freedom. We need the Lord. And I believe it's the will of God to fill and refill every one of us. No matter how long you've had it, how long has it been since you found that place of prayer, began to cry out, and God came and said, I'm preaching to you that we must seek to be filled with the Spirit. That's the will of God for us. Father, thank you. I want to know. I know you're believers. But have you received since you believed? That was important to me. It's important to me that every one of us who comes in love of these issues is coming. Have you ever seen people that walk with God? They have a fear of God. They have a respect for God. They have convictions. But then one day you run into them. Everything is changed. No convictions. No breaking the heart of God and having no feelings about that. Let's look at this story. There was a time in the church when, be it our family or the stranger, whoever, when they come into this room, we had a desire for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We prayed with them. We asked them. We taught them. We did everything that we could to get that person to where they were hungry, where God was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want you to stand with me today.